Okay, we are holding on Daf Chaf and Baba Basra. We got up to the very last line on Yud Tes Amud Beis. We're discussing about what type of chavis was this that was blocking the tumah from transferring from one room to the next that had the window in the middle. So the Gemara now says, Hai chavis hechidamya. What is the exact case we're talking about that has the grogros, these dried figs in it, right? See, e de pumalavar, right now, turning to the top of Amud Aleph, if the opening is facing outward, meaning it's away not from the source of the tumah. Higufatechot, then it itself is a chetzitza. It's a barrier, right? So it shouldn't be mikabo the tumah. Taha klicheres ain't mitame migabo, because the din is by klicheres. It's not the outside of it doesn't. If you would suspend something in the inside of a klicheres, that would make it tummy. But just something from the outside of it would not make it tummy. So then if it's facing away, shouldn't be a problem. Ella de puma legav. So it must be pshat is that its opening is inward, right? It's facing towards it, and that's why it's going to become tummy, because the tuma goes into the barrel itself through the klicheres through the inside of it. The Iboy Seima, if you want, I can give you a different teretz. La olam de puma levar. Really, the mouth of it, it's facing away from it, it's outward. So what are we talking about over here? It's not a klicheres, it's bechod shel mateches. It's a metal barrel. So then in a metal one, so that's not because I'm coming through the outside. Meisve, one second. Ask Akasha, working on this thing that we saw, that if there's something that you're not using, then it's considered to be like bottle. It's not going to reduce the space of the tefach to have the tumah transfer from one room to the next via the window. So it's based upon a tosefta and oholos. Asavim, these are grass. Shetoloshim, you pluck them. Vehinichem bechalon, and then you took this plucked grass and you put it in the window. Osha alam alehin bechalons, or it just grew on its own in the windows. I had a friend whose dira, I won't say which yeshiva was at, but the dira in his yeshiva had grass growing on the walls. Okay, so yeah, it's a ma'isa shahaya. Umetalt umatlonis she'ein behem shlosh al shalosh. If you had these types of fabric. Yeah, they're fabric. They're not three tefachim by three tefachim. V'ha'ever v'ha'bosa ha'madudolin b'vehema v'chaya. You have this type of limb. It's an aver. It's like this dangling flesh from an animal, from a behema. V'ov sheshachon b'chalon, or a bird that's like resting there in the window. Goy sheyosh b'chalon, a goy sitting in the window. U'ben shmona ha'munach b'chalon. A child who's born after 8 months of pregnancy is in the window. Now we assume, no, again, modern science not being considered right now, but in those days that was like a nafil. It wasn't going, a ben shiva, if it was 7 months it could survive, or 9 months it could survive, but if you had a ben shmona, we assumed it was going to be a nafil, and it wouldn't live. Again, this is not necessarily work according to modern medical understanding. Fine. But nevertheless, ben shmona, Munach bechalon, v'hamelach. Melach here is a salt, right? Klicheres, you have this earthenware vessel. V'sefer Torah, right? You have all these things. All these things says the Tosefta kula mematin bechalon. All these things reduce the dimensions of the window, and therefore the only way that the tumah would be able to cross, to pass over through one room to the next, where you had the mace into the other room, as if there was an open space of a tefach. Aval hasheleg, but with snow, borod, hail, gleed is frost, kfar is like ice, amayim, water, kulan amet matan b'chalon. All these things do not reduce the dimensions of the water. So what's the, again, going back to Kasha and Shmuel, the ha asavim chazun behemto. What Shmuel's din, which we saw, if you could feed it to the behema, right? So then that's a problem, because Shmuel says it's something that has a use, isn't going to be part of it, it's not going to reduce it, so you could use the grass, give it to your animal, right? It's not going to remain there. The Brisa says it does reduce it, so the Gemara answers, no. Ba'afrasta. It's talking about this, the afrasta is like a poisonous grass that they, an animal's not going to be able to eat this. Okay, so now the Brisa goes on. Oy, sha'alu me'alehen. If the grass grew on its own, right, in the window, that's also going to reduce the dimensions. Kevin dekashu lekoisa shakilahu. Since the grass is going to be, it's kashe, it's difficult, it literally is going to damage the wall, so the owner's not going to leave it there. The owner's going to take it away, right? So since you're going to take it away, then that doesn't make it a chatzitz anymore. So Omar Rab is talking about Bekoisel Churva. It's talking about a wall of a of a churva, something that's ruined already, right? There's no real structural, it's not structurally sound anymore. So for, you know, the guy's not going to bother himself by taking away the grass because the whole thing is not worth it. Rav Papa Omer, afilu b'koysel yishuv. No, you could even tell me it's talking about a normal house where people live in it. But it's talking about the grass is coming from a place which is beyond three tefachim from the chalom. Right? In other words, the grass isn't growing on the window, but it's a few tefachim away, and then it's reaching the window. So the Baal HaBayis isn't going to be machbit about the grass that's growing and it comes into his window from a few tefachim away. That's what it means, right? It's a coastal yishuv, but boy, in the chutz l'shlosha, three tefachim away from the window. Fine. Then we talked about that there was this type of like scraps of fabric or something like that, right? So by the din is by it's in machshir, and we learned that something has to be three tefachim by three tefachim in order to be mekabel tumah. So Mara asks, matlonios chazule lekriya levushe. You could use these things. You could use if you have like you want to patch up a tear or something like that, right? So Mara says, no. It's talking about bisemichasa. It's talking about something that's very thick. You can't use it to make a patch. Chazul umana, you could use it for a blood letter. He can use it to wipe up the blood where he's puncturing, right? So the Gemara says, no, you can't be that because beriska. It's talking about a sackcloth. That's something that's very abrasive. It would scratch the skin, and people would not put that on the after they've been bloodletting to cover up the wound. So I ask beriska, if you're talking about this type of sackcloth, that it's very rough. She'im behem shalosh al shalosh, right? So why the brayis have to come along and say that it's not 3x3? She'im ba arba al arba mi boyle. It really should have said 4x4 because these types of sackcloth has a higher measurement for that, right? But it has to be at least 4x4 in order to be mekabel tuma. So it says no ke'ein riska. It's light. It's not a real sackcloth. I mean, it's like a sackcloth. I mean, it's a material that's stiff. This stiff material, it's not really a sackcloth. But the guy, the makis down, the bloodletter is not going to use it. The one calls them the what's it called the I forgot already. Umona, right? That's what it's called, the bloodletter. So he's not going to use it, but it's still woven like a regular baggie, like a regular piece of clothing. Okay, back continuing. You had this limb or flesh that's dangling from a behemoth or from a chaya. So ark of Osley, right? Why is that? The animal can just get up and go away. It's gonna leave, right? So it shouldn't be part of the window. So Mara says no, because shura, the animal's actually tied in its place. So therefore, we're not dealing with an animal that's going to get up and move around. Shachit lo, but okay, maybe you could shecht it, right? So if he's going to shecht it, no. B'tmei, we're talking about an animal that's tummy, you're not going to come to shecht it. 1 second. Mezabin li legoi, I'll sell it, I'll move it, meaning that it's not going to stay in this place. Where it says, no, it's talking about b'kachusha, it's a very lean type of animal that has no market value. No one's going to want to buy such a, it's not a good piece of bosser over here. So that's why, right? Okay, so 1 second. Pasik shade le leklavim, but you'll just cut off the part and use it for the dogs. That thing that's like dangling off that leg or whatever it is. Okay, the dog will eat it. No, there's suffering. There's tsar bale chayim over here. He's not going to do that. This is fascinating. The Gemara has, I shouldn't say the Gemara. There are 11 different sources, suggestions for what's the makor for tsar bale chayim. Not going to get into now, but that is, a fascinating concept again, from where we learned it out from. V'ov sheshachem b'chalom. Now you had a bird who was in the window. That would also be memaitit, that would reduce it. Someone says, 1 second, this bird that's in the window, parach lazo. Like, the last one, the animal's going to get up and go away. This animal's going to get up and fly away. So therefore, it should be part of the window. Someone says, same tear, it's bekosher. It's talking about with a bird that's tied to its place. It's the same thing. Shachile, sheshach the bird. Shech the bird and get rid of it. Bitame, it's a tummy bird, and it's not gonna shech the non-kosher bird. Mezabli legoy. Okay, so then sell it to the goy. The goy will do it. When it says no, it's talking about bekalaniso. It's a type of special bird. It's so bony that no one would want to do it. That's why Rashi it has so little meat in it. The Rimagash is a different theory. The Rimagash says that this type of bird is like a superstition about it. It's like a bad luck bird. So no one's gonna want to buy this kalaniso. But whatever it is, whether it's because there's not enough meat on it, because it's bad luck, no one's gonna buy such a bird. Okay, the Gemara says, Yahile Li Yinuka, so give it to a kid. A kid's going to play with it. He doesn't know about bones. He doesn't know about bad luck. It's a toy for him, right? Like, you know, from the Gemara you have in Shabbos, Psikration Lo Yomos. They used to play with, like, you know, animals. That's what kids play with. The Gemara says, no, it's a type of bird, Bimit Sarate. Sarate is like, sweet is like it makes a scratch, right? So this is not a good playmate, this bird that's going to scratch the kid. So Gemara says, Kalaniso lo masarta. The Kalaniso bird, that's going to scratch. So Gemara says, no, it's not really that. It's Ke'en Kalaniso. It's a type of bird that it's like a Kalaniso, right? And then it's bony, but this is the type of bird that would, in fact, scratch people. So at the end of the day, no one's gonna want to deal with it. It's not going to be taken away for any reason. That's why it would lessen the dimensions. Okay, next one. Goish Yosha Bechalon, right? You have a goy who's sitting in there, that would reduce it. Koy Ozo. The goy's going to get up and leave, right? Why is it reduce it? He's going to leave. Bekafos. So again, here, just a different verb. It's the same concept. The goy's the tied down. So, osi chavrei sharile. Okay, so he's got a friend. His chavre's going to come along. He's going to untie it. No, we're talking about the mitzora. Right? What's your name, Kimta? We're talking about mitzora who's tied down into the window. No one's going to touch him. You know, no people want to stay away from him. For osi mitzora chavrei sharile. Okay, so another mitzora will come and he'll untie him. El bachavushe malchus. No. We're talking about a person who's been tied up by the malchus, by the government, right? This is being confined as a he's there as a punishment. That's why he's being tied down in the window, and nobody's gonna mess with this guy. No one's gonna, you know, no one wants to upset the malchus and come to rebel against the government by freeing him. So that's why the goy is there and he's not going anywhere. Okay, next case. Ben. Shmona Hamunach Bechalon. Again, a child was born after 8 months of pregnancy. They put him into the chalon, the window. So Asli Ime Dar Yile, right? The mother's going to come and take him away. B'Shabbos. It's talking about Shabbos because the Nefil is Mukta. Wow. D'Tanya Ben Shmona Harehu Ke'evin. We learned in a Braisa that an 8-month-old child is like Mukta. For Oslo Tatla B'Shabbos, you can't move him. You can't move the Mukta. But a woman could bend over and nurse him, right? That because of sakana, if the child doesn't nurse, then the child's going to die. So some of the Mephoshim learn that the sakana is not on the mother, the sakana is not on the baby, the sakana is on the mommy because of the buildup of the milk that's going to cause her a danger. She has to express the milk, right? So, okay, different opinions of who the sakana is going on, whether it's going on the child, or that most learn that it's because the failure for the mommy to nurse that's going to cause her to get sick. Melach, right? The salt that would reduce the. Someone says chazile. Wait a second, salt. It's usable. It's practical. You could use it. So no, it's not regular salt. Bimirirte. It's bitter salt. No one's going to put bitter salt on their food. Kazi la'oros, you could use the bitter salt for tanning hides, right? The isbe kotze, no, it has coats, it has thorns in it, right? It's a type of salt that is not going to be used for tanning. Okay, so it says, v'keva dekashi l'kosel shakla. Okay, but you have this like thorny type of damaging salt. The guy's going to take it away. He doesn't want this bad material staying there in the window. It's gonna ruin it. The yasve achaspa. It's where it's sitting on a chaspa, is a shard, like of a kli cheres. So therefore, it's there, but it's not actually touching the wall. It's not gonna damage it. So when it says, okay, chaspa gufe techots. So then the this piece of pottery, that itself should be chotetz against it. Why? So what do you have to come on to tell me melech is there? Once you already have this kli cheres there, right? The chaspa is what we call the shard. So then why'd you say salt is going to be it? Right? Now I turn to Amud Beis. The lace by shiura. No, this case is where the shard, this chaspa, doesn't have the correct shiur, so forth. It's like it's not considered to be choshev, right? That's why Rashi learns it's too small, right? Kitznan cheres kedei litein bein patzim lechaveiro. That for hotzah, you have this little shard of it, so it has to be the much that you would put between one and its other to separate it, right? If you had pillars, then you put this little piece of clay in between to strengthen the pillars. That's what it means, the patzin. Klecheres, right? If you had a klecheres, chazile, that's also, you could use it, so therefore, again, the whole yisod of here, in this sugya, anything that would be fit to use is not going to stay there. People are going to use it. So the kvicher is chazed that people are going to use it. Where it says, no, the reason why they would not take it away is because it means ton of. It's been soiled. It's like dirty. No one's going to use a dirty piece of that. So one second, chazed umana, you could use it for the bloodletting, right? He doesn't care whether it's dirty or not. No, the reason why he would use it to miknav, because it's perforated. And if it's perforated, then it's not to be suitable for this. Next case was the Sefer Torah, Chazeh the Mikre. You could read it. You could read it. So therefore, people are going to take it and learn from it. But Balui, no, it's talking about a worn out one. It's a Sefer Torah, yeah, but it's not kosher. Whatever it is, it's unfit. You can't use it for the reading. Haboy Geniza. Okay, so if it's not kosher for using it, you're going to move it anyway because you're going to bury it, right? That they have to put it into Sheamus, into Geniza. And one says no. The person says Sham to Hakeniz also. That is the Geniza. I'm leaving it there. That's the place where I'm keeping it. I'm putting my shameless box there. I'm burying it there, and therefore I am not moving it. So either way, Mimon of Shach, if it was suitable for reading, you would take it away, right? It's not suitable for reading. So why don't you take it away? Because that is the place where I'm putting it. So I have this worn out Sefer Torah, this Pasul Sefer Torah, and that's where I'm putting it. So therefore, that's why it would reduce the dimensions. Okay, going back to the salt now. For Omar Rav, Bekol Oisin Mechitza. You could make a Mechitza, right, to show where you have a Rosh Hashayachid, right, with everything. Chutz Mimelach Urvav. You can't use salt. Ravav is like fat, right? The salt is going to crumble, and the Ravav, these fats, is going to melt when it gets hot outside. Ushmol Omar Afilu Melach. Shmuel says, nope, you could even use salt to make Mechitza. Omer Papa Velo Pligi. Really, says Papa, they're not arguing. Hab Melech Sedomis. This is talking about the Melech Sedomis. Vahab Melech Isterokonis. It's talking about this type of special salt. Some sort of, that's like the name of like a coastline type of salt somewhere near Mitzrayim or exactly where, but that's where they used to get the salt from. But that has like from the sea, and therefore it has like grains in it, right? That's what Rav is talking about. Okay, Shmuel's talking about the Melech Sedomis. V'hashta Amar Rava. Now the Rava said, Oisa Adam Shnei Tziburei Melech Maniach Aleihem Korah. A person can make two piles of salt as the opening for his mavo, and he puts like the korah as the crossbeam on top of them. Kusha Melech Ma'meres Es HaKorah, V'HaKorah Ma'meres Es HaMelech. That the salt supporting the beam and the beam supporting the salt by weighing it down. That's like, you know, compressing it. So now this beam is going to be mata him to carry in the mavoi. So then fair, afilu melech isterokinis. You can even use this type of, you know, we said this has the salt. It's like coastal type of special sand, let's say salt, right? So you could use it. Velo pligi, right? No, still, Rav and Shmuel not arguing. Ha de ika korah. When Shmuel says that you can use it, that's where there's the korah that's pushing it down. Right? That's what Shmuel's din. The ha and the din of Rava is saying, no, the leka korah, there is no crossbeam, and there's not going to be pushing it down. That's why it can't be used. Okay. Marchikin es reichayim shlosha min hashechev shehein arba min harechev. Okay, this is talking about the wall had to be three tvachim from the lower part of it, which is four tvachim from the upper part of it, right? That's how this was built. Samai taima. What's the reason why you have to distance the mill, the rechaim, from your neighbor's wall? Someone says, the reason you have to do is mishum tiria, because it causes like vibrations, right? Someone says, v'hatanya v'shel chamor shlosha min ha'istrobil shehin arba min ha'kele hasa mai tiria iko. So where it says that you have to, I went back to the base of it. Okay, let me go back. The base of it is three tefachim, right? That's what the istrobil is the lower part of it, right? That's four, right? And it has to be from the kelis is the mouth of it, right? That's where you put the wheat in it. But one says hasa mai tiria iko. What type of vibrations are over there, right? So meaning the one's asking like this. It doesn't make sense to answer over here that it's because of the vibrations that we cause, because you see, for even in case there was no vibrations, you also have to celebrate it. So really, the one says, right, Elam Ishum Kal, it's the coal, it's the noise that's going to be generated. Really, what the chilik is, when you have the mill, it's on the base, so that stops the vibrations, right? That's not gonna you know, harm the wall. That's gonna harm the wall if it's on a base. Fine. Some have shown more differently over here than this whole idea that Mishum Kal, the Kala, right? They know that's not there. What it means is it's a different thing. The reason that the vibrations do damage it, but more saying that the reason is it's noise. That's why you have to distance it from the mill, right? And then the Rashba learns that it's not uncommon. You could have sound cause the vibrations, and that would be what would damage the wall. Okay, the Esatonor. Right, from the tanur, the different types of ovens we know, right? There's the kupach, etc. There's different types. So if you have a tanur type of oven, so shloshim min hakalia, shehein arba min hasafa. You have to do three tvachim from that's the part, the base of it, right? Which is really four tvachim from the narrow part of the upper rim of it. That's how it's shaped. So amr bai shma mina kalia de tanur tefach. So you see from here, says Abai, that the base of the tanur oven is a tefach wider than its rim. Nafkamin el mekach memkar. So you need to know this in terms of you're selling something, right? A buyer has to know what's the proper dimensions, the proper ratio when he's purchasing his oven. Okay, now someone's going to start talking about setting up the oven. So the Mishnah says like this: Lo yamid adam tonu b'tocha bayis. A person's not allowed to set up an oven inside his house. Elin kain yesh al gab of goiva arba amos, unless there's a space of between it, above the top of the oven and the ceiling, right? You want to burn the ceiling, right? Because that's the guy's living above you. So you have to have arba amos. Our dimensions we're using Ramosha, 7 feet 3 inches is arba amos. Hi, Amamido ba'aliyah. But what if now the guy's putting the oven on the top story? The aliyah is the upper story. So in this case, we got to protect the heat coming down below. So tzarach shehei tachtav ma'aziva shlosha tefachim. You have to have the plaster three tefachim thick, so that the ceiling below it's not going to be too hot. It's going to damage that. Now that's if you're talking about a toner, right? Uvakira, right, in the stove tefach, it has to be one tefach. And if it does cause any damage, so mashal and masha hizik, you have to pay for what you damaged. All these shiurim that we're giving is to teach us that if he does damage after doing all this, then he's potter, meaning you did all of the precautions that were reasonable. So therefore, since you did what you were supposed to, you follow the correct dimensions, then you're fine. Well, yif. Tach adam chanus shel nachtomim v'shel tziborim tachas otzro shel chavero. You shouldn't have a bakery or a dye shop beneath someone's otzro, their storehouse, right? And you a little refes bakker, you can't put a cattle barn there, because these things, again, the bakery is going to make it very hot. The tziborim is going to make heat, and then the refes is going to make a bad odor. So that's going to go up, and it's going to damage the whatever being in the otzro above him. And really, really, the truth is, b'yayin hitiru, they allow it to in case of if they're storing wine, then you could put the bakery and the dye shop underneath it, because the heat's not going to really damage the wine. I'm a little refes balker, but you can't put the barn, because the odor would damage us. Just agav, when we were doing our kitchen, we wanted to put a wine rack above, I forget which appliance it was. Maybe it was the refrigerator, maybe it was the microwave. There's a microwave. And we were told by someone who's a bucky in these things that no, that the heat of the microwave, or I forget what it was, would actually damage us. So we put the wine rack in a different place. But the Maisa, you hear this, says the MS Omer, that really they would allow it. Behind Hitiru, they would allow you to set up your bakery, which is again the source of heat, could be underneath it. Okay, says the Gemara of Hatanya, what do you mean we learned in Braisa, Betoner Arba? Then when you case of a toner, the oven, you have to do four tfachim thick, right? Uva Kira Shlosha, and by the Kira it has to be three. Right, but the Mishnah says that it has to be three tefachim, and it was only one tefach. Right, so it's not four and three; it's three and one according to our Mishnah. So the brice is different. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, "Kitanya hahi." What's that brice talking about? Bidinach tomin. We're talking about these professional type of bakers. People, they're baking all day long. You know, it's not just your balabas who's baking a little bit. They're baking constantly, and it gets very, very hot in there. De tonor didan kikiru dinach tomin, because our toner, right, is similar to the kira of the nachtonim, the professional bakers, right? So that's why it's really three tefachim on both. But the question is, in the Mishnah, the toner, our toner is three, and that's compared to their kira. Says the Mishlo Yifchas Chanus, You can't, Yiftach. I read that wrong. I think I probably read wrong in the Mishnah. Let me just go back 1 second. Yeah, I think I read that wrong. Lo Yiftach. Correct myself now. Sorry. Lo Yiftach Chanus. You can't open the bakery or the dye shop, right? Or the baker. Tana Im Haiserefes Kodemis the Otsar. Now, what if you had the barn was there beforehand? And now you want to put it in. So in that case, right, it's mutter. You're allowed to do it. The barn owner doesn't have to move it, right? He was there first. So Sabaye asks the question, Kibed rebates lo otzer mahu. What if he's cleaned up and he like sprinkled, he's preparing to use this as the otzer, but he hasn't yet put anything in there. So mahu, what's the din over there? What's the halacha? Is it considered to already be like an otzer? And therefore at that point, you can't really put the cattle barn underneath it, or no, maybe Kol Zman that's empty, so then, you know, you haven't done it yet, so then I can hop around and put the cattle there. Sariba Bachalonos Mahu. If the person added windows, he needs more, it's for ventilation, I mean, what does it do? The person shows, I'm planning on using this, I don't want to get musty, and you know, I want air to circulate in here, I'm showing, I'm being Megala my Das, that I want to use as an Otsar, so Mahu, what's the din? Achsadra tachas ha'otzer mahu. A person makes an achsadra, this like enclosed like porch type of thing underneath it, mahu. Bona ali agabe beso mahu. The guy built the second story on top of his house for storage. So what's the din in all these cases? It's unclear. Teku. It's unresolved. It literally just stands. We don't know the answer. Boy Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yoshua Tamre Rimone Mai. What if he put some dates there, and he put some pomegranates, right? Is that considered to be the start? He's already used to store them, and therefore now you can't go ahead and put the cattle barn underneath that, or not? Meaning it's not significant. One says, but this also teku, unresolved. We don't know the answer. So now just come back to the one said be'emes be'yain hitiru, right? Really, in emes we said that you could use the wine, but you can't do the cattle. Satana b'yayin hitiru mipnei shemer shemash bicho. The reason why we allow you to do the wine is because this heat and the smoke from there, that's actually going to be mishabeach. It's going to improve it. V'lo brefes boker mipnei shemash bicho. But the cattle barn, that makes a bad odor. You know, who wants to drink wine that smells like, you know, manure? Ugh, no one wants that. Omer v'yosef haididon. This is talking about our wine, right, which spoils quickly. Vafilu kutra de shagra nami kashile. Even the smoke of a candle, that's so, it's so sensitive, it's going to get ruined by that. Rav Sheshis, says Rav Sheshis, the as pasta, right, alfalfa, right, kirefes bakar dami. It has the same, it's considered to be like, for this particular case, it's considered to be like a cattle barn because it rots and it has a bad odor. Okay. Let's do the Mishnah. We'll start the Gemara next time. Chanus shebechatzir. The guy wants to open up a store in his chatzir, right? So what are the neighbors allowed to do? Yochel limchois biyad of lomelo. They could make a machal. They could protest and say, look, ani yochel ishon mikol hanichnosim mikol hayotzim. I can't sleep because everyone's coming in, everyone's coming out. You're so much business here, but it's taking my ability to sleep. Aval oisek kelim. A person's allowed to make kalim in his house, yotzi moichim betoich hashuk, and then he can go out and sell them in the market. Meaning, despite the fact he's not allowed to set up a store in his chotzer, right? This he do it. Ve'ein yochelim chos bi'adalam milah. A person at that point cannot be moichim and say that because of this ein yochelish and unable to sleep, right? Lo mikol hapatish, not because of the voice of the hammer. I hear you working and banging all day long in your house. It's coming out into the air. Ve'lo mikol harichaim, and no because the sound of the mill that you're using to grind up the things to make your bread, whatever it is. Ve'lo mikol hatinokos, and not because of the children, right? Any of these things, these are all considered to be reasonable usage. And anything you're doing, you can use your hammer, you can use your mill. Your kids are crying, whatever it is, you know, that's not considered to be a problem. It's a cute story. I remember my friend Rabbi Chaim Marcus from Springfield once told me when the whole family were flying when his brothers, they were young, and there was a flight from America to Eretz Yisrael, and there was one of the kids was quite loud on the plane ride, and someone was like, you know, complained to his father, Rabbi J. Marcus Shlita. So he said, like, What do you want me to do? Like, open the window? You know, what can I do? This is normal usage. You take kids on an international flight and they can make noise. That's how it goes. Okay, we will, Mirza Shem, pick it up with the Gemara in tomorrow's shir. Shkoyach.